this morning, back when we were in the midst of doing our what we believe and why we believe it, I gave opportunity for individuals to let me know a topic that they would like me to preach on. And the topic, I received two. This is the first of those two. The first topic that I was asked about was fasting. And the next week we'll be looking at basically stewardship. How does God want me to use my resources? And the question specifically was relating to money. We will take a look at that next week. This message, or the outline that you have in your bulletin, is actually a message I did 11 years ago while I was in Brandon. It covers basically the biblical outlook of fasting from Old Testament to New Testament. I didn't see any reason to rewrite it because it covers almost all the scriptures that relate to this. And it's put in your bulletin as a study guide. We have a limited amount of time to cover the full amount of it, so we're not going to get into every aspect of it. But this is an important topic. And it is one that you, at least I, have not heard a lot of information on in relation to the biblical approach to how we should be people who fast. And we're going to talk about that this morning. So as we do prepare for that, please bow with me as we go to the Lord this morning. Father, we come before you right now. And again, we recognize that you are here in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. I ask, Lord, you would anoint each and every one of us. Fill us with your Spirit. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our hearts that we may understand. Conform us to your will. Father, I pray for myself as I come into your pulpit this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would empty me of myself. Fill me with your Spirit, that it not be my words but your words. I ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse that I'm going to refer to in the beginning is Daniel 9:34. It says the following: "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I have prayed unto the Lord God and made my confession." This morning is going to be somewhat like a seminar. I'm going to be bringing some straightforward information out of the Bible to you, and for us to ponder what it means to be a people who fast and seek God's face, to seek His heart. Why has the discipline and practice of fasting been forgotten in so many churches today? Why do we somehow feel like it's not necessary, or that it's something that was for days gone by, when it really is something that is for us today as a people? I would say that there are very few people that practice the discipline of fasting. Now, I realize that when you fast, you don't run up and you tell people, "I'm fasting." But surveys have been done, and people usually respond in the affirmative. If they are fasting, they would respond to the survey and let people know. Most people today never fast, ever. How has Satan managed to silence so many Christian leaders today on this subject? They don't preach on it. Though fasting is clearly taught and practiced both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we rarely hear anything about it. Well, this morning we have this. Number one, what evidence is there in the Old Testament of individuals fasting? Plenty. Tons. We have Moses fasted twice for 40 days till his face shone with the glory of God. We have Joshua who fasted after the defeat by Ai, wondering, "Lord, what had happened? Why did we lose this battle?" And rather than just whine and moan and groan, he went into a time of seeking God's face and entered into a time of fasting. In the time of Judges and in the time of Samuel, all of Israel fasted. David fasted before he was crowned. David fasted when his child was ill. David fasted when his enemies were ill. David fasted because of the sin of the people of Israel. David sets a great example for us regarding fasting. Jehoshaphat and his people fasted till God said, "You will not have to fight this battle." They won by fasting and praise without 1 hour of fighting or bloodshed. They went before the Lord and God fought for them. I think sometimes, and I'm not saying fasting is the answer to every battle you will ever face, but fasting is a part of our lives and should be entered into. But so often I think we go into battle expecting God to come along with us, when it should be the other way around, as demonstrated by the Ark of the Covenant. God goes before us. We are to follow His will and His way, fighting His battles for His glory. I find it to be somewhat tragic. I've been there, and I would assume that you've probably done this. A great idea, and you run out there and you do it. And you're like, God, come and bless it. But in my case, many times it was like, did I stop and pray? Did I ask, is this really what God wanted me to do? There's a lot of good things we can do in life. But are they the things God's called you to? The enemy can sidetrack us. The enemy doesn't always cause us to do bad things. He wins a victory if he can get us to do something different than what God was calling us to do. Even though it might be a good thing. An example I always give when I refer to this is, could you imagine if Billy Graham had chose not to be the evangelist and decided to pastor a small church, let's say, in somewhere in North Carolina? Pastoring a church in North Carolina, good thing. Amen? Doing what God calls you to do, in Billy Graham's case, being an evangelist that reaches millions, the right thing. I thought I was going to say the better thing. No, it's the right thing. The enemy can sidetrack us. We need to know what God wants of us individually and then do it. And this is one of the critical parts in life. What God wants from you, not what people want from you. Not what the church wants from you. Not what your parents or your family wants from you. What does God want? And then pursue it with all your heart. Elijah, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Daniel were all known for their fasting. Number two, is there a place for fasting in the New Testament times? We recognize fasting was not required of the disciples of Jesus. And it says in Matthew 9:14, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? While he was with them, they did not need to fast. But he said after he had gone, there would be a need to fast. And this is what he says in Matthew 9. How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. This applies not just to the disciples, but to you and me. There's a rightness to fasting. Now we'll talk a little bit about why we should fast as we go through this. Because my personal opinion is most people misunderstand fasting and see it as if, and I'm going to be a little disrespectful in the statement, but as if it's some kind of magical thing that we do to get whatever we want from God, because God, look how dedicated I am to you. So since I'm doing this, somehow or another, that compels God to say, wow, man, he's so dedicated, I've got to give him this. That is not what fasting is about. And we'll see that as this unfolds. Will God give us something? He'll give us what he intends for us to have to complete his purposes in our lives. And we need to fast in order to come before him to draw closer to him. What examples of the New Testament saints fasting? You may be surprised by some of this, but fasting was a powerful God-blessed strategy of the early church and in lives of many people, of the leaders God raised up. Paul prayed with fasting in every church. Paul and Barnabas in Acts 14 says the following, verse 23. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put in their trust, had put their trust. One early bishop wrote, who does not know that the fast of the fourth and sixth days of the week are observed by the Christians throughout the world? In the 13th century, Francis of Assisi says, He went through the streets of Italy singing, preaching, testifying, praying, and fasting until thousands of youth were saved. We find sometimes that there are spiritual barriers. I'm going to say it the way it just ran through my mind, and it could be offensive, but I'm going to say it the way it ran through my mind. We whine sometimes. This morning I sounded to myself like I'm whining. God, I want to feel better. You know, it's like, we whine sometimes, but are we coming before him asking, seeking his face? Are we really dedicated to his purposes? Are we really wanting God to move for his glory? Or do we somehow surrender to our own desires and say, God, I need you to do it this way? When God says, I will bless my church, key word there, my church, not my church or your church, his church. When his church aligns with him, he will bless it. And he does. Martin Luther was criticized for too much fasting. John Calvin fasted and prayed till most of Geneva was converted and there was not a house with at least one praying person. John Knox fasted and prayed until Queen Mary said she feared his prayers more than all the armies of Scotland, Latimer, Ridley, and Cramer. Can you imagine that? Man, I would like to be known as a person that feared because I pray and God moves. Forget the army. And for the queen to have actually said that. In fact, most of the reformers were known for their fasting added to their prayers. John Wesley fasted twice a week until tea time in the pattern of the early church. He urged all his followers to do the same. He said he would soon curse and swear as not fast. For the man that never fasts is no more in the way of heaven than the man who never prays. Now that is John Wesley's statement. Jonathan Edwards was mighty in fasting and prayer. Some say he fasted to extreme until he almost was too weak to stand in the pulpit, but God used him to move New England. Charles Finney, mightily used of God in a revival in the 1800s, fasted regularly each week whenever he detected some degree of decrease of the Spirit's presence in his meetings. He would spend 3 days and nights in prayer and fasting. You may wonder why I spent so much time illustrating people from the past. We do need to see a link between those who fasted and those who were mightily used of God. Amen? Over the last 50 years, the discipline of fasting has diminished in the church that it's almost non-existent. Brothers and sisters, we are in a time today of spiritual warfare. The enemy hates you. He hates the church. He will do all within his power to keep us ineffective for the glory of God. We need to use every arsenal, every tool in our arsenal that God has given us to bring glory to his name. And this is one of the tools that God gives us. It's a time of unity, but carnal Christians pull for self. You can go to any Christian bookstore today. And this will sound critical, and I am critical on this statement. And I make no apology for it. You can go to any Christian bookstore today, and they will tell you and tell you and tell you how God wants all this for you. All you got to do is this. God will make you this. God will do that. Where are the books for service unto the King? How to live for Him to bring glory to His name. How to make a difference in a world that's dark and dying and going to hell. How to share the gospel when people hate you, but love them anyway. These books are feeding the Christian community into the meism of our day. Don't buy into the meism of today. Life is tough. We don't minimize that. We go into the rehab hospital. We tell them, we know you're going through a tough time. We never minimize that. It's a difficult life, but God is good. Amen. And we're not going to be in this life but 70 plus or minus years. What are you going to do in the between time of birth and death to bring glory to God? We need spirit-energized action. But the carnal self prefers speeches. It is a time of fasting, but people prefer feasting. Isaiah 22, verses 12 to 13 says, "The Lord, the Almighty, called you on that day to weep and to wail, to tear out your hair and put on sackcloth. But see, there is joy and revelry, slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, you say, for tomorrow we die." We should be focused how to serve our King. Now you may say, "Pastor, you're being a little bit unfair this morning. You're at ministry. That's your 24/7 position. You're supposed to do these things. I have a job in the secular world. Or I'm going to school and I'm preparing for a job in the secular world." God says everything, whatever we do, do it for the glory of God. Everything we do. You and I, you are ministers, ambassadors of the King, 24/7. You are never not a Christian. It's not something you do once or twice a week. If that's the person's focus, you have to wonder if they're born again. With some fairly good reasons to wonder that. Our lives should be so surrendered to Him that we want Him to be glorified in all that we do. Number three, what guidelines are set forth in Scripture concerning fasting? It is to be done in a manner of humility and secrecy. Now, there are times for corporate fasting, but in most cases, you're not going to go around telling people, "Hey, I'm fasting." See? It's something you do before God. The Bible says in Matthew 6:16-18, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting is, letter B, fasting is closely related to prayer and reading the Word. This gives us a clue as to what we should be doing when we're fasting. A lot of people, again, I reiterate, some people have the view that I'm fasting in order to tell God, "I want this, God, please give it to me," and God's going to give it to them. That's kind of like an exchange. I'm sacrificing, He'll give. You know, it's like paying for something by, you know, I'm going to give up whatever it is, most commonly food, but I'm going to give up this food so I'll get from God what I want. No, it's a time for drawing nearer to God. It's a time of purifying and seeking His face. And you often find in Scripture that it's done with the fasting is included with prayer and reading God's Word. Nehemiah 1:4 says, "When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." At the beginning of the book of Nehemiah, he hears the destruction of the wall, and he's going, "What am I supposed to do?" He doesn't go, "Hey, I'll get a committee. Hey, I'll come up with a plan." He says, "No, man, I got to get before God and let Him tell me what He wants me to do." Did you know? I got to be careful how I say this because it'll come across wrong, possibly. You can go to a website. I'm not going to give it because we're recording this, but there are websites out there. One specifically that I'm aware of, mentioned it to Kevin and Brad the other day. There's a website out there that has over 10,000 sermons ready to go. And their slogan is, "For the busy pastor." If you are too busy to be before God as a pastor, studying and bringing forth the message God laid on your heart, oh man, let me be careful. No, get out of the ministry. My goodness. For the pastor who's too busy? So they download this message and they get in the pulpit and they read this message that somebody else wrote. Is it truth? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. I didn't read it. You and I need to be before God when it's time to make decisions. And asking Him. Not every time will we need to fast, but there are many times we should. Nehemiah 9, verses 1 to 3, the Israelites gathered together, fasting. They stood in their places and confessed their sins and read from the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for a quarter of the day and spent another quarter in confession and worshiping the Lord, their God. Wow. That's a beautiful picture. Coming before God, asking Him to cleanse us, to reveal to us what He wants us to do for His glory. There are other scriptures here that you can look up, as I said, as set out as a study guide for you. I will go to the New Testament, Acts 13:2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 14:23, Paul and Barnabas appointed for them in each church and with prayer and fasting. And 1 Corinthians 7:5, that you may devote yourself to fasting and prayer. So I submit to you, before I move on, I submit to you this morning, fasting is a part of the New Testament teaching for the church, meaning you and me. Now there are ways to go about fasting. A fast may either be absolute or partial. An example of an absolute or a complete fast, Deuteronomy 9:9. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water. Now, I'm not telling you, unless God calls you to do that, you would not do a 40-day fast, and especially a 40-day fast without water. But we look at that and we go, that's impossible. I don't know if you just said that. I'm not coming off of what you said, but please, I'm going there. But it wasn't because you said it. It sunk in after I got it. It's not impossible because God did. Thus, if God calls you to that, you would do it. But there are other fasts that people can be involved in, shorter ranges and different ideas. Examples of a partial fast where there's an abstinence from certain foods. Daniel 10:3, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. Letter D, there's a place for both the corporate and the individual fast. We see examples of the corporate fast from 1 Samuel 7, 5 and 6. And Samuel said, gather all Israel. And they gathered and fasted. Ezra, then I proclaimed a fast. So we fasted and petitioned God. And then Nehemiah also, the children of Israel were assembling and fasting. Number two, examples of an individual fast. David, from 2 Samuel, he fasted and went into his house and spent the nights lying on the ground. 1 Kings, when Ahab heard those words, he fasted and lay in sackcloth and wept softly. Psalm 35:13, when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. And then Daniel 9:3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer with fasting. Number four. Fasting in itself is of no spiritual value if the heart is not right. Now, I've already demonstrated or stated that if you're going to God thinking that you're bargaining, you wasted your time. If you're going to God, you know, with an agenda that is other than, Lord, speak to me and show me your will, show me your way, and then laying before Him the prayer, trusting Him to demonstrate to you to continue to pray or not pray for this. David was an example with his son, child, firstborn. He wept, he fasted until the child died. They were afraid to go tell him because they didn't know what he was going to do. To their astonishment, he gets up and says, fix me something to eat. They go, but why? He says, well, when the child was sick, I fasted and prayed. The child's gone. There's nothing I can do now. You know, he's not going to come back to me. I'll go to him. Time for fasting had passed. So he moved on. And that's what we do, is seek God's will and His direction. Number five, I already stated. Letter A, only fasting that is done with the right motive, that of glorifying God, can be pleasing in His sight. And there are a number of scriptures that illustrate that. The question often comes up, how long should I fast? Number five, Bible personalities fasted and sought God diligently until they obtained from God what they had desired. Now, you're going to say, well, you just said that's not why they fast. And that's not what I said. I said, if you go to Him with a desire that God, I'm making a bargaining here, they were laying out before God until He revealed the truth to them and guided them through it. So what's the difference? It sounds the same. Maybe it doesn't to you. The difference is they were submitted to and surrendered to God's will. You hear me say this regularly and you probably get tired of it, but to me, the key word, I mean, we could pick a lot of words, but the key word in the Christian realm is surrender. You want to glorify God? You surrender to Him. You want to know God? You surrender to Him. It's about surrender. And in our culture, we don't like that because we're trained that we are supposed to be these overcomers. We can do all these things. I've learned this about myself. Maybe you're better than me. Praise God if you are. When I try to do it in my own strength, I tend to usually mess it up. It's when I surrender to God and really am seeking His will and letting Him work through me that something positive usually will happen. The link, letter B. There are varieties. We're not going to read the scriptures involved, but there's in scripture you'll find a one night, a one day, 3 days and three nights, 7 days, 14 days, 21 days, 40 days. A variety of days. Because I'm preaching on this, I have no problem saying this. Do I run around ever telling you when I'm fasting? No, I do not. Do I fast? Yes, I do. How often? Between me and God. But I employ usually one of two, either a one day or a 3 day. Why? God, what do you want for NLCC? Who's going through a difficult time in life? God, will you bless them? Now, I say that cautiously because it almost comes off like, and that's not the intent of that at all. That is what God calls us to. Now, some of you are going to say, well, you know, there are medical reasons why I cannot fast. Diabetes is a good one. I am not a doctor, and I'm not here to tell you what you should or should not do in relation to that. But if God tells you and leads you to fast, and you can trust Him, that much I can tell you. How do I know that? Moses was without water for 40 days. Let me ask you, did he lie? Or did he tell us the truth? I believe to be truth. Thus, we can trust God when we know He's leading us to do something, to guide us through it, to accomplish it. When should I fast? I'm not going to read the scriptures here. I'm going to give us kind of the overview. When should I fast? The ordination of elders and commissioning. I read that scripture earlier. That's a wonderful time when you're preparing people for ministry. And it doesn't even have to just be the elders. It could be our church people doing various things. Intercession for people of God. Are you praying for somebody and you're wanting them to get saved? And you see that there's barriers there? Apply fasting. Oh, are you making it sound magical? No, that's what God tells us to do. Seek Him with fasting and prayer for people who are lost. A humbling and chastening of oneself. Seeking the Lord in His way. A time of repentance and confession of sin. I'm not going to say this directly of you or me. We'll keep this one kind of generic. But if you've been trapped in a sin and you feel shackled to that sin, how can I get out of this sin? Spend some time in fasting and prayer, asking God to break the shackles. In His Word, looking for verses to encourage and to instruct you in those ways. Don't answer this. At least not to me. Do we really, as a church, believe God is still God? And that He still does the miraculous? That He still works in the lives and the hearts of believers? Do we believe that He is the difference maker in our lives? Part B. It's one thing to say what we believe, but does our life line up with what we say? You know, sometimes when you're a preacher, there are those moments when you bring something forth and you know people are thinking, man, you know, I came here this morning wanting a feel-good message. No, you know, there's sometimes we need to know what God says about us and what He calls us to do. What good is it to profess Christ if our lives are out here instead of lining up with God? Well, you're asking for perfection. Okay, well, don't be out here. At least be up here, closing in on looking like God. That is our goal. Sanctification, holiness, if you will, is something that we aspire to. Letter F, to receive healing. Also to petition God to withhold His judgment. Preparation to receive word from God. Spiritual deliverance. Seeking assistance in time of fear. Mourning another's death. Seeking protection. Lacking material provision while in need. Every one of those through A through M is biblical. There is a time of fasting associated to every one of those A through M that's listed in your outline. Sounds pretty important to me. What do you think? Something that God has given to us that I think somewhere along the way the church has sort of forgotten. And I had, for a number of years, I ignored that part. Until I started researching it back in 2000. And God laid this upon my heart as I went through the Scriptures. And when Scripture speaks, the best thing to do with Scripture is respond and align with His Word. The last one this morning, number 7, before conclusion. Fasting is extremely valuable and important aspect of the Christian life, but it is not an infallible means of getting what you want. Pastor, you keep saying that. Absolutely, because I want you to understand that if you go through fasting, it doesn't mean you're going to get what you want. David's son did not get healed. But David did. God worked in David. The man was able to get up and go eat. I've never lost a son or a daughter. Maybe someone in here has. My heart goes out to you. I've watched my dad lose 2 of his. I know how difficult that can be on an individual. David had lost his son, but he had such assurance in God that it was the will of God, he was okay. As we go through our trials and tribulations, we need to have that assurance that it's the will of God and it's okay. I can tell you this. Whatever I'm battling right now, I know that God is in control. That's not my issue. It just stinks to be down when you're not accustomed to that. Just don't know how to deal with it. But God is in control. And I trust He's teaching me something that I didn't know before. And when it's all said and done, I will be the wiser for it. So thus, I didn't say praise the Lord in the beginning. With my brother Bruce, I praise the Lord. Even though I don't enjoy it, He's in control. The conclusion is this morning. Fasting is used to humble us and to draw us closer to God at a specific time or times in our lives, during which times, if our hearts are right, God will speak to us. He will either grant us what we are seeking or will redirect us in order to align us with Him. I encourage us, if you do not today, have not embraced the teaching and following the Word in fasting, I encourage you to try to do so. I have a good friend of mine who's a pastor. He's retired, probably 82 years old now, give or take. For probably 50 years, his fasting is simply this. He misses Wednesday lunch to spend with God. It doesn't have to be 3 days, 10 days, 40 days, but it does have to be intentional. And I encourage you to ponder that. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for Your Word and Your instruction. Lord, I ask that You would help us in any and every way to draw closer to You. That as we talked in Sunday school and have looked at here this morning, that we would be aligned with You. That people would see You living in us. That they may be drawn to You. We love You, Lord. We lay this all before You in Jesus' name.